Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the lolo.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
People are amazing. The NBA will get L.A. and Golden State in. Playing games are pointless when it's rigged. Come on, flimsy cherry. L.A. was the best. I mean, L.A. should have... L.A. before the season started were the prohibitive favorites, maybe one of the biggest favorites we've seen in the NBA, because they had an unbelievable roster. They had all these injuries all season long. Now they're healthy. It was rigged that they won this game? Could win it all out of the seven.
Yeah, rigged on a desperation heave that gave them the lead late. How is that rigged?
That follow was rigged. The refs rigged it so that they would win in follow the final seconds on a three-pointer.
LeBron would get his eye poked and nearly die.
Yeah.
You know, you guys referenced that is, there's no relegation yet. Adam Silver created a mini relegation. Like, there's a line in the standings, 1 through 6, and then that's the top of the table. And then under that is the relegation zone. And
it's not relegation. No, they're back in the league.
But it was before.
But it's a relegation from the playoffs, possibly. Right. That's what he created. Look, we're not calling it that, but that's what he created, where there's a top of the table and there's a clear line in the standings where if you're under this, you have something to do.
You know who's a fan of relegation? Our friend JVG.
Yeah.
He said he would love it if there was a way to relegate teams. Guess what, that would JVG? Keep them playing hard.
The Rockets would be relegated this year.
Yeah, okay, and they deserve it. They're that bad.
No, they're that bad.
It's just you can't come up with a it's not expansive enough. The sport is not expansive enough like it is soccer, where you have so many teams. I mean, it's not that unusual for soccer to have two major teams in the same smaller city.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not that crazy. Here we have L.A. and we have New York, and then that's it. But you know, it's funny. We stopped talking about division championships in basketball years ago. I don't know when it happened that they just started showing Western Conference playoffs, Eastern Conference, and we just had the table, basically like the soccer table. We stopped. I don't know when the last time that we talked about winning in a division. It's hard to even... It's hard to even focus on who's even in divisions anymore.
And the division...
It's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant.
And except scheduling.
And the tiebreaker, the division title, meant that the Mavericks didn't have to possibly play in the play-in. They're the 5 seed. I don't know if they own the tiebreaker versus the Lakers, but they all had the same record entering the end of the season. The Blazers, the Lakers, and the Mavs. And the Mavs won their division in a 3-way tiebreaker. That gives you the advantage. Now, they get to play the Clippers, so it's not great. But they were the 5 seed because they won a division. That's the only time it matters now for anyone. And it has to be like in a 3-way tie for it to even mean anything in the standings.
Yeah. It was a good game. And it's over now. And the Lakers are in like they're supposed to be in. And Golden State, we'll see if they get in. If they don't, they don't. But it's not outrageous. Oh, it's rigged. They're a minuscule. Okay. They're a sand granule better than Memphis, because they had to win the last game of the season to get the
better teams will win.
We'll see. Well, maybe not. Maybe that one game they won't. Maybe the other team will show up.
It doesn't make it rigged when the better team wins.
Well, according to John, it's rigged. That was flimsy.
Are we so concerned if Golden State gets in, it's rigged? Why? They just won a game.
I'd rather have them in, frankly.
I would too. I want to see Steph play. I mean, Steph makes it better. Ja's nice too, but
yeah,
but you know what? I don't know. Yeah, but the league wants Steph, so Steph will win because it's rigged.
maybe
you don't know.
I said maybe. That's why I don't know.
You don't know if it's rigged or not.
I just admitted.
How about our Astros and Greinke last night? That was you know what? the situation, obviously, Game 7, with the way he pitched in Game 7, and that was so important, and the whole atmosphere and everything else, that was a much bigger and better start for Greinke. But I don't know that we've seen dude better than, I mean, as far as pitching goes, I don't know that we've seen him better than he was last night.
No, he hit 93 twice on the gun. I'm sorry, Zach Greinke hit over 90 on the gun? Yeah, he hit 93, and it was a little cooler, which I don't know if he was just feeling it because it was cooler and maybe he had a little bit more, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't know how cool it was. They were acting like it was pretty cold, but Zach Greinke hit 93 at least twice yesterday on the gun, which is extremely rare for him to hit that. He hasn't been hitting that for a few years now. And, that was what Zach Greinke did basically in innings 4 through 8 was incredible. He was so unbelievably efficient getting in and out of innings quickly.
Mm-hmm.
He was really, really impressive that way.
No, he was awesome. Yuli was awesome. He was awesome. Brantley was awesome. And Straw was 3 for 5. Carlos Correa got a little bit lucky, but he came through.
No, he came through. Strong base knocked to right center, knocked a run in. There wasn't anything lucky about that.
What about the first one? That was a bloop over first.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the one where he nailed it when they were in the middle of a three.
He got a little bit lucky on the first one, and he nailed the second one, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's
talk about the hard hit one instead of just trying to bash him because he won't take your hometown discounts.
No, that's not a hometown discount. He's actually getting about what he deserves.
He's getting more than he deserves, probably.
Oh, he's going to get much more than he deserves, which is baseball. That's baseball. Nice job, Carlos. Nice job, everybody. This is the did you see the stat? The Astros have more hits per game than any team in the league. They have the best average, and they only added to that yesterday. They're hitting .268 as a team.
Is there a number for left on base? Wouldn't that coincide?
No.
Runs, they are not,
they're not great. Yeah. They're not great. Another no-hitter last night. Clayton Kershaw said, this is not good.
This is not good. Jeff Blum was talking about the fact that there's going to be people in Major League Baseball who say, okay, we need to look at this. We're in May. We're not even through May, and we have 6 no-hitters.
Yeah. That's bad. But here's the thing is, this is bad for baseball. And Clayton Kershaw said that. No, it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. Because, you know, it used to be a no-hitter was something special.
It's not special.
It's not special anymore. It's really not, because these hitters are so much different. The game has changed so much that it's passing yards in the NFL. It's 3-pointers in the NBA and points in the NBA.
Yeah, they're cheap.
And it's no hits and strikeouts in Major League Baseball. It's either feast or famine in Major League Baseball.
The first no-hitter was April 9th. The 6th was May 19th. I mean, you're talking about 41 days.
Of 6 no-hitters.
And 6 no-hitters?
Yeah.
Since
1900... 7 is the record.
Yeah,
for
season. This is the most no-hitters in a span that we've ever seen in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
You think some of that is just because, like, you can't say anything about doctored baseballs or
thinks the baseballs are different. Clayton Kershaw said it.
Well, that's fine, but the baseballs have been different when guys have hit it out of the park. I think it's more about the mindset of swinging for home runs.
Yeah.
Because we see the strikeout numbers are substantially different. I think it's just the mindset of trying to get loft on every hit and changing the way you swing from your heels and you're trying to hit home runs. I think that's really changed. The super shift has created an advantage for the pitcher. So with the super shift, there's less C&I hits. With players trying to hit home runs, a pitcher who's able to locate is going to have more success. You're going to have more swing miss. The swing miss numbers have gone way up over the last few years because players are looking to hit home runs. I think that's why we're seeing this. It's basically a perfect storm of super shifts and, you know, the swing miss numbers being much, much higher than they were forever. It still has made what used to be special, it's made it cheap.
Yeah. It's it, it you listen, we're talking about baseball though. So, I mean, it's not a horrible thing because we're talking about.
Why it's a bad thing. We're talking about baseball that no hitters are a bad thing. It can't be a good thing if we're talking about that they're
not
a bad
really
thing.
Because you're still talking about it. Any publicity is better than none.
Would you say that about Deshaun?
Would you have been talking about the Yankees and Rangers last night? No.
But any publicity, not Deshaun's publicity.
Well,
not.
But this is not. This is not. That.
But we're talking about the fact that it's not. You and I and Dell are talking about the fact that it's cheap. You're likening it to pitch to baseball that it doesn't really.
But I think we in context in listen just like
Kluber's great.
Just like passing yards back in the day. You know, Joe Namath had more interceptions than touchdowns. And all of those stats and everything else, it's a different game today. So you got your completion percentage and everything else is different. Well, guess what? It's different today. They've cheapened the no-hitter. Doesn't mean that Nolan Ryan's no-hitters are cheapened. Nolan Ryan, when he did it, it meant something. Now it just means a little bit less. Just like 60% passing percentage is not great anymore. It's a lot different game than it was back then.
Yeah, I'm going to need a no-hitter with 17 strikeouts if I'm going to take it seriously from now on.
Well, you know what, though? 17 strikeouts is just 17. That's really not a big deal.
No, I understand.
You got to have 27 strikeouts.
Okay.
Now we're talking about a no-hitter.
Yeah, I know. What type of perfect game is that?
That'd be the most unbelievable.
27.
No, but is that... Okay, it's not off the table, though.
But didn't it used to be the best pitchers? It felt like the best pitchers.
Yeah, now
like
it's...
If I go to the 90s, let me just read no-hitters from just the 90s. And it's not
Let's do it on the other side. 814 yeah. ESPN, 97.5. We're going to break down 1990 no-hitters.
No, we're going to look at some of the names that are throwing them now.
Huh. Lynn Miley. Oh, no. Lance Kirchen over here.
Spencer Turnbull.
Yeah.
Turnbull.
What about Wade Miley?
Did you see his record before that game?
No. Miley was an Astro, yes.
Before that game, Spencer Turnbull was 9-25, 9-24.
Well.
And he threw a no-hitter? The guy that's 9-25 threw a no-hitter?
John, he's 3-2 with a 2.88 ERA. He's better.
Well, yeah, he's better because he just threw a no-hitter.
He's had a good season, John.
Oh, he's turned it around.
At 28, he's turned it around.
Who doesn't? 814 ESPN.
That White Sox guy, too. We've seen that. What about Yermin? Had one hit, one at-bat in 10 years, a major league at-bat, and all of a sudden he's the best
hitter in
baseball.
He's leading the league.
Yeah, this is the year, this type of stuff.
It is the year. This is the year. All right, 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, so how do you feel now about Ricky's exemption?
Fowler?
Ricky Fowler.
I don't feel one way or the other about it.
Well, you did. You thought it was unfair that Ricky got an exemption
to
this. Yeah, when he didn't deserve to be there. Oh, he's 2 under. Maybe he does deserve
it. Did I say that?
Yeah.
I don't think I would have cared enough.
Yeah.
To get upset about Ricky.
How do you feel about it now?
I think I made fun of golf for giving exemption.
Well, he's Ricky. He wears orange.
What
he's
does that
fun.
Mean?
Kids
you,
love him.
You say that.
Where's Puma?
You say he's not good.
No, he's not good enough to be there, but he still got there.
So why did he get to play in?
Ricky got one to play in.
That's fine with me if he played.
How does John feel about Ricky playing in?
He probably doesn't like Ricky because he has flat brim hats. Can't be down with that.
No.
But Ricky is in and playing well.
That's right.
Congratulations.
That's right.
If it means on the
final. Doubters like you said he couldn't do it.
No, I didn't. I just said stupid golf. How about that? I think that's pretty much all I said about the issue. I think it's great that Ricky's playing well because it means. Will golf focus on his significant other on the final day if he's going good? I'm sure she'll be there if he's going good.
Oh, yeah, she'll be there.
Yeah, so I hope Ricky plays great.
See, because you want to see her?
I mean, I'm sure golf Twitter will freak out for all the shots of her. I mean, I'm not going to watch the tournament for her. There's Instagram for that.
Yeah, Jason, we know you picked Ricky. Guess what? Ricky's going to fall apart, Jason. Okay, just so you know.
You a hater is what you are.
Yeah. No.
So... A lot of people have been waiting for me to get to 1990 no-hitters.
Okay.
A lot of people are saying stuff on Twitter like, hurry, this can't come soon enough.
Uh-huh.
Just some of the names with no hitters, right? It used to be, because I was thinking, man, I remember it was always good pitchers that had no hitters. Mostly good pitchers. Every once in a while, a fluke guy would get in. Randy Johnson, Nolan Ryan, Dave Stewart, Fernando Valenzuela, Terry Mulholland, Dave Steeb, Nolan Ryan, Tommy Green. Not so much. But the other names are really good. Then there was a four-pitcher no-hitter. Dennis Martinez, Wilson Alvarez, Brett Saberhagen. Those are all pretty good pitchers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just literally, and that's just through 91. It's others include Daryl Kyle, Jim Abbott, Kevin Gross, Scott Erickson, Kenny Rogers, Ramon Martinez, Al Leiter, Doc Gooden.
Yeah, those are good pitchers.
Hideo Nomo, Kevin Brown. Yeah. Those are good pitchers. You get into the 2000s, you have Anibal Sanchez, Justin Verlander several times, John Lester, Randy Johnson again in 2004, Mark Burley, Clay Buchholz, Carlos Zambrano more than once, Mark Burley more than once, Ubaldo Jimenez. I mean, these are pretty good pitchers. Dallas Braden is, you know, he's all right.
He's Dallas Braden.
Okay. Edwin Jackson was okay. Matt Garza, you know. But then you get into, here's what this year's no-hitters look like. Corey Kluber, good pitcher. Spencer Turnbull?
No, terrible.
Wade Miley? Talking about Wade Miley like, well, I hope Wade Miley can get... Wade Miley has a no-hitter this year.
Yeah, no.
He has a no-hitter. That's John bad. Means? If John Means came up and kicked Wendy in the chest, what? And you had to fight John Means,
Let him roll. Go ahead.
And you had to fight John Means. Excuse me?
Who are you?
Would you know you're fighting a guy who had a no-hitter?
No. No.
You wouldn't even know you're fighting a no-hitting pitcher.
No. No, but I would fight him, yes.
Yeah,
I would
you'd
do
fight
that.
John Means.
I would fight
you
him.
You wouldn't know that you, like, John, you just kicked the ass of a guy who has a no-hitter this year.
John Means was an all-star last year. How dare both of you?
Yeah, but we don't
never
know.
Heard of him.
Or actually, 2019.
Was he really?
2019, he was an all-star, yes.
No one knows that.
Rodan.
It's on his
Joe Wiki. Musgrave. These are all this year. Joe Musgrave.
Musgrove,
yeah, former
Astro.
Man Astro, Mike Fierce. Mike Fierce has two of them,
yeah.
Former Astro.
Joe Musgrove traded for
Gerrit Cole. Is that any good?
So put some respect on that man's name.
Okay, if you're traded for, were you traded for Gerrit Cole?
No.
You have a no-hitter?
No. Lucas Giolito, you like him, that's your guy.
Giolito's a good pitcher.
James Paxton's got some
ability. A good pitcher.
Yeah, he's a good pitcher.
Astro killer.
Well, I'm into 2008.
He was an Astro.
I had to go back to 2018. In 19, there were four no-hitters. In 18, there were three. In 17, there was one. In 16, there was one. And now there's six this year with guys like Wade Miley. Listen, if Wade Miley's throwing a no-hitter, something's going on.
Well, and Mike Fiers has two. Wade Miley
can't
have one.
Yeah, the Mike Fiers two was already problematic. The Wade Miley no-hitter, the Spencer Turnbull no-hitter. It's just a little weird. That's all.
No.
How many? It's starting to lose some juice.
How many barely average Astros are going to throw no hitters? Musgrove, Miley.
Well, they
Fiers.
Left. Well, they got a little taste of the Stromer. They take the Stromer
now,
with
Kluber
them.
Kluber is a really.
No,
good
he's
pitcher.
A legit pitcher.
Yeah, Kluber's
Kluber. Kluber would fit into that Brett Saberhagen
yes,
mold.
Yes, yes.
And,
yes.
You so know what I mean? Mark Burley.
So, in some way, shape, or form, Brent Strom has touched. How many no-hitters?
He's the arm of an angel.
So, 2019, we know the Astros had that four-pitcher no-hitter. Aaron Sanchez, Will Harris. Sanchez is like his first start
the
with the
Astros.
Astros
had a six-pitcher no-hitter.
That was back then.
But yeah, but this is with Strom.
Yeah.
Sanchez, Harris, Biagini, Davinsky no-hitter.
Verlander
no-hitter. He's got a
Mike Fiers no-hitters.
Two of them. And a Wade Miley no-hitter.
Yeah.
And a Musgrove no-hitter.
That man's just cranking out no-hitters. I'm putting those on Strom's ticket.
It's what we do.
That's why we talk about Strom all the time. We never talk about hitting coach,
yeah.
Even though the Astros right now.
Did Corey Kluber ever talk to Brent Strom before the game?
Maybe. I'm sure he might have.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe that's why he's great. So, it's what. Listen, the Astros, they're all about no-hitters. This is all an Astros thing. It comes back to the Astros.
Fact,
America's team.
Are they? They hate it like the Cowboys. You're right.
Yeah, they really kind of are. No. There's gonna be. I will. It'll be interesting to see visiting attendance this year. What team, the Yankees will obviously they always draw. The Dodgers will draw.
Yeah, I wonder in terms of what they're allowing for capacity and the percentage of people who show up on those days. Like, hey, we normally have we normally allow 15,000 and 13,500 here to watch the Astros because we hate them.
Right. It'll probably be more interesting to see in the second half of the season when all stadiums will be at full capacity.
So you know what's weird though? I think the mask versus no mask thing, it's really just what peer pressure do you feel? People, who's been to Fort? I talked to somebody who said he's.
I felt weird going into Starbucks today without a mask on.
I did too, and this is my point. But I did it.
I did it
for
too.
The second day in a row. But you know what? I put mine on I was in Whole Foods, picking up some seafood stuff, and I'm like, man, it says right there on May 19th, y'all have a little sign that says on May 19th you don't have to wear a mask, and everybody has a mask on. I mean, everybody. But you go to an Astro game. My buddy said he's been to 4. You walk in, you take your mask off as soon as you walk in. Because he said nobody in the games have...
Yeah.
In the stands, you don't have masks. He said you walk in, you take it off.
I don't play... I play poker without a mask all the time.
Yeah, but we're walking around, but like you feel weird about... Can y'all... I know there's got to be other people like us who
it happened to me today. I stopped to get some gas, and I walked in to pick up a couple of, an iced tea or whatever, and I walked in, and I normally carry my mask in my bag or in my car.
You're picking up cigarettes?
I said iced tea. I didn't say cigarettes.
Oh, I thought you said heaters.
No.
Pick up some heaters.
Heaters, no. So I normally carry, it's either in
some
my car.
Wrapping papers?
Or, sure. And my bag, one place or the other, and I'm like, you know what? I'm walking in, and I forgot. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going back to grab my mask. The guy behind the counter didn't have his mask on. I was like, okay, I'm good. And they didn't even have a sign.
That's how you know.
Yeah. I was like, all right, this is the place where I can
walk in. That's how you know, but
in.
I'm like, man, I don't care if y'all judge me. I'm going to have to start because I know I'll be, I don't want to say heroic again. Once again, I don't like using that term.
You
but if I need to be
like
the
it.
Hero for somebody else, if they consider me that, because I am going to follow the science and the CDC's guideline on not, and we don't have to wear masks because we're vaccinated, then I'm going to be that hero for people who says, look, you know what? You don't have to feel sad anymore. I know you're scared to take your mask off too because, and let's face it, Whole Foods are probably going to be the last places where a mask comes off of someone. That thing's going to stay on there for 4 to 6 years.
Yeah, they're a place for electric.
Whole Foods?
They're a place for people like John with electric cars and
like
granola.
It's like John's crew.
Yeah.
Organic soy.
I don't
milk.
Go to what? No,
you're going to now
too
when
foofy.
You get that truck.
Give me
now
a Randall's.
No,
right. No, not anymore. Sit with your electric truck.
You're going.
No,
to
you're
Whole
not.
Foods.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
No.
Central. Do you know that it's a self-driving truck and it only drives to Whole Foods?
Did you see the self-driving truck? Yeah, the self-driving Tesla that crashed into a cop car?
It was an accident.
Oh, an accident?
Yeah. It's a setup by the NBA. That's how they rig games.
It's rigged.
Yeah.
They rigged that car like they rigged games.
Did you see the play?
Eric Layden said a guy, when he was on the he was heading from La Jolla back to L.A. for something acting-wise. I think he was shooting Bosch. And he said driving right next to him was a guy in a self-guided Tesla who was in the front seat reading a newspaper. He was kicked back. He leaned all the way back. His car seat was all the way back. And he was reading a newspaper as the car was driving. He said, can't get to a point where I trust technology that
much.
No,
me either.
He said, just can't have. But you're going to have to now. You're getting an electric truck.
No,
and it's going to take you.
Self-driving.
Self-driving right to Central Markets and Whole Foods.
No, I still have to drive it. I'm going to self-drive. I'm going to self-drive it. Me.
It'll only drive. Watch what happens to the engine if you try to drive to a Kroger.
What happens to the engine?
When you go to... when you're at your Whole Foods, if you don't buy ingredients for avocado toast, will your car even start up? Like, will it even let
it
you
won't.
Drive?
It's like when you try to go too far with the carts, the grocery shop
yeah,
cart,
and
there's something that goes, and you find out the harbor, you're like, oh, God.
Every
oh my
time
God.
You go to that grocery store.
What is happening?
Y'all are so jealous of my electric
Every
truck.
Every time you go to that grocery store, you better get your avocado toast ingredients, and it better be organic bread as well.
Hey, Wendy, grab the sprouts, please. The car's not going to start if we don't have sprouts
yeah,
for the avocado
it.
Toast.
All right, it's 8:28.
Take
so
those Pop-Tarts
jealous.
Out of there.
The jealousy in this room. It's palpable, okay? 8:28, ESPN 97. Oh, guess who I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
Chastain Tony Finau? Ford.
Oh, okay. Oh, look at this. We leaned you right into it.
Are you kidding me? That's where I signed up this morning at ChastainFord.com to get, if you didn't see last night they introduced the new electric F-150. It's unbelievable. It is the best truck I've ever been in. But this is going to be a 2022, and it's going to be electric. And it is going to have the same, it's going to be even faster than the F-150 is now. And you're going to be able to haul all the stuff that you were going to be able to haul before. And it is going to look even better. Listen, go sign up now. And if you get on, get your reservation in, because if you don't, you're going to wait. It's going to take even longer. Because this is good future, people. And if you're looking for that, I was there yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I drove the Mustang, electric Mustang. It is totally sweet. It is totally, totally sweet. Look, here's a great way to go about it right now, is you order your car. There is the computer chips and everything else that's going on in the car industry. You will save money by ordering your car as opposed to just going to the dealership and buying it. You will save money because you can customize it to exactly what you want. You don't have to take the package that they have. If you don't want the sliding glass in F-150, the back window that opens up, you don't have to buy that. So if you're looking for the best way to buy a car right now, go to ChastainFord.com or stop by there, and you can look at everything that you want, and you can order, and then you get your car, and it's exactly what you're looking for. They're doing this every single day at ChastainFord.com, or get to the dealership at Homestead on 610, not Hempstead, Homestead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, God. Do you think that the Jaguars are going to trade or release Gardner Minshew so Tebow can get number 15?
I hope so.
Who said that?
It's Pro Football Talk. Tim Tebow debuts in 85, a number he'll likely have only until the guy who wears 15, Gardner Minshew, is traded or released.
Well, does Gardner Minshew have more value to the Jags as a trade thing or chip as opposed to the backup?
I actually think Gardner Minshew is right there with Case Keenum. And although if Dusty's listening to me, he's so pissed that I mentioned that, because he believes Case's agent is also Andy Dalton's agent.
Yeah.
So we may get.
Oh, you're going to get that. I caught Andy Dalton.
No, I'm giving a.
I caught it yesterday for him.
I know. No, but I'm giving a benefit. Like I'm saying, that's good for Case Keenum. I'm giving Case. Look, I think Case has done more than Gardner Minshew, but I think Gardner Minshew can be a really solid NFL backup who can step in and have a longer career. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick was not considered a starter early in his career, and he kind of won some games. And I think Gardner Minshew could actually end up being a decent NFL backup who can play in the league for about 10 years. I really do. I think Gardner can stick around.
No. Gardner's proven that he can play. He absolutely has. He deserves... He absolutely deserves a shot anywhere. I mean, now you don't want that guy on your bench in case your starter gets hurt? Absolutely you do. As a matter of fact, if you rank the backup quarterbacks in the NFL, Gardner Minshew is going to be one of the higher ones, right?
Yeah.
Who do you want as a backup? You want Case or Gardner?
Probably Case. Yeah, but Case is older, too. Gardner's probably less expensive. Yeah, I'd say Case now. I mean, Case has played an entire season. I would say Case. I put some respect on Case's name. But I think some teams might prefer Gardner.
What about Tyrod Taylor?
Well, he's a starter now.
No, Davis Mills is going to be a starter.
When's the last time Tyrod Taylor actually played in
Davis Mills
games?
Or Jeff Driscoll?
A couple was three.
It's been like
the
three
year
or four
before
years.
Josh Allen took over.
Did Tyrod Taylor?
That he's played in multiple games as a starter. It's been a while.
How many games did he start last year?
One, and then he got
the
puncture.
That was the first game?
And then they stabbed him in the heart.
2000,
right. Prank call!
2017. Actually, 2018, he started three games. He was the starter before Baker got the job. Before they handed the job to Baker.
Yeah.
That was a while back.
2018.
He was in his 20s.
29.
I mean, the last time he was a full-time starter was 17.
Why would the Jags keep Gardner Minshew? Because if Trevor Lawrence gets
good backup,
no. But if Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, don't you just want to lose games anyway? Why would you want a guy who's going to help you win some games?
Gardner helped you lose games in the past. That's Let's not true. Act like he hasn't.
But you can find a guy who's worse, right? If Trevor Lawrence is hurt, your season's over anyway.
I don't want some guy who might win more games than we need to win.
No, yes, you do. No. If you're a coach, you want to win games.
Well, then why are you signing Tim Tebow? I wouldn't want him on the team. Gardner, you're too good for this.
Because the locker room. You know how he brings that locker room together?
Yeah, I know. At 34, the third string tight end, he's going to lead guys.
Yes, he leads. He's a leader.
I understand. I'm just thinking ahead. If Trevor Lawrence is out, our season's trash anyway. Beat it, Gardner.
Mm.
We can pick up the Texan scraps. Whatever guy they cut, whether it be Driscoll or Finley, we'll play that guy.
Hmm.
Listen. You doubt what the greatness of a Tebow.
Well, he's not so pessimistic
about everything.
He's not going to play quarterback. Forget about Tebow. I don't care about Tebow. I just don't want a guy on my roster if Lawrence can't play that might help us win games.
Yeah, well, that's you. Beat it. Want to tank all the time. We don't tank around here.
Well, I'm talking about the Jags. I'm not talking about here.
No, our teams don't tank.
The Jags aren't our team.
Listen,
I actively saw Rockets and Astros tank. I can't say that for sure on Rockets.
Texans.
I'm just trying to give them
all three of our teams.
Oh, well, I don't think the Texans are trying to tank. I think they're. So somebody asked me one time, "Do the Texans are they aware of what's happened in the city? How everyone kind of thinks they're a joke and they're not like they, there's no juice around the team? Are they aware?" And I said, "You know, I honestly don't think they are." I think in their bubble, in their bubble, like we got a waiting list. We're still the Texans. Where we are is where the place to be. You know, we're the cool kids. We're the Texans. We're the cool kids.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans were never cool.
No, they weren't.
They didn't think they were the cool kids. They just thought
it's football.
They pooped and it smelled like roses.
Yeah, they thought Tywin Lannister. He pooped.
Yeah.
Oh no, they honestly thought you were. If you weren't Texans, you were trash.
You're trash.
I had someone say that wherever we go on the radio is the place to be because we're the only ones that matter. Bill O'Brien said it out loud.
I know the Astros won a World Series, but this
after
is
a World Series,
town.
He said it out loud. With all due respect to the Astros, we're the team. Football's the only thing that matters. Everyone else can suck a big, fat butthole. Ooh. Like, what, Bill? What did you just say to this lady's, this gardening group?
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. Horrible person.
So, no, they just think that and they still think that, though. No, I don't think that they have an idea of what this city thinks of them. Because they wouldn't trot Cal out in front of, with his T-shirt on and his golf shirt, and you know, they wouldn't trot him out there in front of everybody and actually put a microphone in front of his face. They just wouldn't do it.
Well,
they don't have any idea what's going on here.
Well, listen to their former leader.
One thing I've learned since becoming a head coach of the Houston Texans is how lucky we are to play in front of such a passionate fan base. You know, I love the Astros. I love the Rockets. You know, I really do. I've been to games and they're awesome, but we all know what it's about in Houston. And it's about the football team. It's about football. It's about the Texans.
Everybody laughed.
I mean, literally laughter from
four
multiple
straight
people.
ALCSs, and it's about you and your crappy team. Stop.
To be fair,
that's how they feel, though.
It was
that
only the one at the time.
No, that,
but do they still
that
feel that way?
That, two. Yes.
The question is, do they still feel that?
Of course,
with
they do.
Nick Caserio.
Yes.
With?
Yeah. Oh, especially with Nick Caserio.
Probably so, because
he came from New England. He still thinks the same way. Dude, he doesn't. Nothing has changed with Nick Caserio. He is still the same dude that will not give anything up ever to the media. Nothing.
Think about this. This is dated August 27, 2019. So the Astros had won a World Series, had been to an ALCS the following year. Actually, no, they lost to the Red Sox in the divisional round.
They've been to four straight ALCS.
Okay, they went to an ALCS, and they're on the path to going to a third.
Yeah,
and he still said what he said.
Yeah, they're going to another World Series to Game 7.
When they
lost
the Red Sox,
19.
That was ALCS when they lost to the Red Sox.
They lost the four straight. They've been in four straight. Four straight.
20, 19, 18, 17. Yeah, and they're on the way to going to another World Series, and he's talking about.
How
this is a football town.
After he just traded DeAndre Hopkins.
Is he insane?
And the crowd literally went, play it again.
Yeah.
Let's hear how, listen to how many people are laughing because they think he's making a joke.
I've been to games and they're awesome, but we all know what it's about in Houston. And it's about the football team. It's about football.
It's not applause. It's everybody.
Yeah, it's
I was there. I was there. It was like, what? Really, dude?
After a World Series where the city's on fire for the Astros. But Bill O'Brien honestly thought that. You know, Bill O'Brien, the thing that puzzled him the most, and he said it out loud in our little media get-together thing, and I'd heard this from people who worked for the Texans, who no longer do, who said Bill O'Brien just couldn't believe that they didn't get more love in the city. Like, he was honestly shocked, and maybe he had a point, I don't know, but it really bothered him that he felt like people were too hard. He thought I was too hard on the Texans, made sure that he told another coach, and it got back to, you know, my dad got back to me, and I mentioned it to him, and you know, he tried to deny it, but it was true. He just thought the city of Houston was too hard on the Texans, which is ridiculous, and that they didn't get enough love. Like, he couldn't believe that the Texans weren't a bigger deal. And I think the problem for the Texans was once the Astros won a World Series in 17, that was a wrap. Because once they won the World Series, we expected something more from the Texans. It was just the feeling we had a feeling that was much different than anything we had felt. Those Astros made us feel a certain way, and everything else just felt blah with the Texans. After the Astros won, for me, I mean, I still was, you know, there's still some excitement around the Texans, don't get me wrong. But once 17 hit and the Astros were super clutch, likable guys, super clutch. But the Texans did have Deshaun Watson, but once he was out, you know, they were crappy the rest of the year. But the only thing they really had going for them was the excitement of a young Deshaun Watson with J.J. Watt, who was having injury issues, and DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, that was the excitement level. But if you didn't perform like the Astros, we were shown a different way. We were shown what it's like to cheer for a fun team, to cheer for a team that loved each other, that represented the city the way that we wanted, that was clutch. Everything about the Astros was so different than anything we had seen since the Rockets in the mid-90s, and they were even different than the Rockets because they were, you know, this was a badass team. I mean, there were some similarities, actually, but we hadn't seen it for years and years and years. So now when you go back to the Texans, it's like, man, it's like going back to your house after you go on the best vacation of all time, and you go back and you're like, this isn't as fun anymore. I don't like this house anymore. I've been to somebody else's house. This is good. And that's what the Texans were for me. It just wasn't as fun. After the Astros won, our expectations were higher. And I think people kind of cooled on the Texans. They started recognizing, wait a minute, that's what it's supposed to look like. The Astros, look at this with the Texans. This isn't what it looks like. And I think people unplugged from the matrix. They unplugged from the Texans matrix.
Yeah, well, we unplugged from the Astros for 3 years. So, I mean, and then all of a sudden, oh, we love the Astros. Right now is the Texans are the Astros' 100 lost seasons. Get what you get for Deshaun here, and multiple picks, all of these losses with high draft picks, and then some moves that are going to that Nick's going to do. This is now, then the Texans are going to 4 straight Super Bowls. That's it.
Is that what it's
going
to be?
This is exactly what we're going through right now. 12, 13, and 14.
So you think this will be a 4-year rebuild?
It's a 3-year rebuild.
And you think immediately they're going to a Super Bowl?
And they're going to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Who's the quarterback of this team? Yeah. I'm asking. When they go to the first Super Bowl.
They'll figure. Don't worry.
So you don't
I
think
have
it's,
I have faith. They'll figure it out.
You don't think it's Davis Mills?
I'm not going to sit on that limb.
So when the Texans are ready to win, they will have already fired Bo Cully.
Yeah, Bo Cully's going to be gone.
Okay.
Yeah. And you're going to bring in
Lincoln Riley or something?
Hey, who knows? Who's the next AJ? Who's the AJ Hinch equivalent? You don't know.
Who's the next Cliff Kingsbury?
That's right. It could be Cliff.
You want the next
Cliff. Maybe we get Matt Campbell. He'll be head coach somewhere
else. You want a guy who can't win with Pat Mahomes? When you say the next Cliff Kingsbury? That who you want?
Well, that was at the college level. Nobody could win at Texas Tech. Sorry.
Mike Leach would say.
Sorry, Red Raider Kevin.
Mike Leach would say what?
Mike Leach say what? 844 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here to hang with us.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back. listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we're back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How are my Twitch people doing? I haven't checked in a while. They were getting a little saucy with all that play-in talk. LeBron advances. He couldn't see. He was blinded by a poke in the eye.
Yeah, he was able to check the time of the shot clock, but not able to see.
He saw three rims.
Did he see three shot clocks?
Three shot clocks, must have. And he looked at the middle one.
Ah, but he didn't relay that part of the story.
Yeah. I mean, let's go. Listen, LeBron is the hero that the NBA needs.
Well, I'm sure Adam Silver is appreciative that he will be definitely in the playoffs. So you make that joke, but Adam Silver's like, yeah, actually, you're right. He is the hero we need. Yeah. Make sure that man makes the playoffs. But I just like some investigative work by the ESPN people. So you saw three rims. Did you pick out the middle shot clock to determine how much time was left on the clock? Did everything appear in threes? When you were playing defense on Andrew Wiggins late, did you see three of him? Was that a thing that was throughout the rest of his time on the court, or was that just that moment where he saw three rims? These are questions that need to be asked.
Well, right. Sometimes your vision goes in and out. Have you ever been poked in the eye, Dell?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so right away, you're going to shoot a three and win a game?
What was it
right
away?
You're going to win a play-in game?
It wasn't immediately after that he made
that. Well, it was the in that neighborhood.
I'm just telling you.
He saw three rims.
When you're selling me bull crap, he would hate me.
Thank God it wasn't seven rims. What if it was an even number of rims?
That'd be
then
difficult.
What would you have done?
What
if he saw four rims?
Yeah, why does everyone always make it an odd number of rims?
Right.
Why is it not?
And I picked the middle one.
Why is it not two? Why is it
not
four?
What if it was four rims?
Or
which
five.
Which one do you shoot at?
Or five.
You shoot in the middle of
five,
two rims.
You're going to shoot the middle one.
You're shooting the middle one.
If it's four, what the hell do you do?
No, I'm just trying to figure out why is it always three. It couldn't have been seven rims he saw?
Yeah. I mean,
double vision is...
Seeing
double is an even number.
Yeah.
You see
my first.
Oh, here's why. You see regular with one eye, you see double with the eye that got scratched.
So maybe.
Two plus one is
possibly.
Three.
Oh.
Now, if he got scratched in both eyes, if Draymond had hit him with this, with a claw move in both of his eyes,
right.
Then he could be seeing four. Then you'd see four rims.
I would be perpetually this person.
Excuse me.
So yeah. You say you saw three rims. Were you seeing three of everything? Like when you were ignoring Frank Vogel in the huddle, did you see three of him too?
Well, maybe. What if you saw four?
That's what I'm asking. I would
you
be
don't
asking
know.
These questions.
You don't know how
I would
many.
Like to know the answers.
Deshaun knows about odd rims.
Oh, that's not, terrible.
That is. That's terrible. Well, poor Marine.
Well.
Well, I don't know. That's terrible. I don't like talking about rims. Anyway. So PGA talk, what at Tony Stark? We're gonna find out where we're at.
See right. who gave you the Deshaun three rims thing? Who said that?
Poor Marine.
See, what you have to say is, well, Deshaun likes getting poked in the eye.
Oh, the third?
No, you'd have to add a color. What color would you? Yeah, that's what you.
No,
would
no,
say.
No, 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 no! Don't lead him into that.
That's what you would
Still
say.
Be better.
The brown one.
Please no, be better.
If you're tweeting at John, you say,
well, Deshaun has all. He has brown eyes all over.
Please be better. As
you
got to
be more specific.
Please be better as people.
Yeah, Deshaun loves getting poked in the eye.
Yeah.
I can't wait till he's your quarterback and you stop making these jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Because you saw that come out.
Yeah,
you saw
whatever.
It come out that the Miami, the Brian Flores is like, oh, yeah. We could handle Deshaun Watson or whatever.
Yeah, I know. I saw
and immediately,
it. They love it.
Tua's like, hey.
No, all I see is workout videos of Tua looking yoked. So we're good over here.
You're good?
Yeah, Tua's looking
it's
yoked.
It's going to be real funny the way you got a lot less flagrant about James when you thought he was going to be a Heat.
No,
what, did you call him the ultimate weapon?
Yeah, I called him clearly as a joke, the ultimate weapon.
Was he? Is that a joke?
Yes, it was.
What are you going to say about Deshaun? You're going to keep telling your little jokes about Deshaun when he's a Dolphin?
We had this talk about Deshaun. I mean, James. It's illogical of me. I would rather win without him, knowing we won't. But I don't want to root for him on my team. It would feel bad. Like, if LeBron joined the Rockets, wouldn't it feel a little weird? But you'd be like, okay, fine, it's LeBron. But would you feel good?
About Deshaun?
About LeBron.
Ask a Net fan.
Look, you had LeBron.
I'm asking you.
I think you'd come around, quick on LeBron.
No, I wouldn't. I don't want him on my team.
I think you would.
I don't want him on my team.
Russell Westbrook, did you come around on him?
I didn't dislike Russell Westbrook.
I thought Russ was a crazy player.
I dislike LeBron.
Yeah, but if LeBron is helping your team win, I bet you change.
Maybe. Yeah, but you know me. Yeah. I'll take off the shirt mid-game and halftime.
It doesn't matter.
And put the other shirt on.
It's easy for you.
Yeah.
But if it would if my favorite team picked up a player I didn't particularly like, it would begrudgingly. I'd be like, yeah, we're winning, but I don't like his antics. It'd be the same with James.
It'd be the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, listen, I'm glad James is
Are you sure? This season was terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible, but I still can't. It was hard to root for him. I'm sorry.
So out of your three major teams in the city, you only like rooting for the Astros because it was hard to root for the
Texans. It was impossible
Texans.
To root for Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
And now, no, I'm rooting for Christian Wood and the
now.
Boys.
No, but when you're actually a pretty good team with James, it was hard for you to root for him.
I still did, though.
Yeah.
I still did, though. I loved that 65 win team.
It was a great team.
It was a great team. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Chris Paul's one of those guys that once he's on your team –
yeah.
It's way different. Like, love Chris Paul when he's
one of
your
dudes. I didn't
hate
him before that, though.
Have the same level of hate that other people did. I respected Chris Paul, but some fans hated him, and he was pretty dirty. I mean, you know, he'll sock you in your junk without even thinking twice. He would flop.
I like Grayson Allen.
I watched a video where...
The one guy.
I'm a fan. He's a great guy.
I hate Grayson Allen. I watched a video where J.J. Redick, it's a podcast, and J.J. Redick and Chris Paul are on with this other dude. It's J.J. Redick's podcast. And he's talking about the fact that they got into it when Chris was at Wake, I think as a freshman, and JJ was, you know, at Duke. And then the next year they got into it again. They worked a camp. They worked a basketball camp together. And JJ tried to squash it because JJ, like, pushed him in the face to get Chris off of him. Chris was in his face talking trash. And they worked camp together, and JJ said it was super awkward. And I tried to squash everything and just say, hey, I just want to let you know, man, I respect you a lot and blah, blah, blah. He said it didn't matter. He held a grudge with me for the next 8 years until we were on the same team. It wasn't until we were on the Clippers together where he finally let the grudge go. Chris is laughing. But Chris also told a story about how he held a grudge against like Mike Krzyzewski, because Krzyzewski put some walk-on in to check him for like the first 2 minutes and try to bully him around and get real physical. And then when he came out of the game, this is to start a game. When he came out of the game, Krzyzewski gave the guy a big hug and Chris Paul saw it and was like, okay, it's that's fine. I'm going to remember this. Chris is one of those long grudge holders.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But I love Chris Paul now. 65 wins and showing the Rockets I was lucky enough to be involved in a small luncheon where he was giving advice to Jarrett Stidham and about whether or not he should go back or not. And listening to Chris Paul talk was like, I've never been in something like that before where I saw who Chris Paul was. It was insane how serious he takes basketball. He records games every night, comes home from the game and watches games. He said his wife will make him something to eat. They'll sit there together and they'll watch basketball games. And he's looking for who doesn't hustle back, which referees let you get away with certain things. He's just trying to build on any small advantage he can get. He said one thing he looks for is which ref will give him the ball quickly out of bounds so he can hit a hit ahead to somebody and get a free 2 points. Because he's like, if I can get a free 2 points because a ref will give me the ball early and you don't hustle back, and I know you don't hustle back, then I will intentionally do everything I can to get the ball early and get a free 2 points, because that could be the difference between a win and a loss.
So you would say your impression of Chris Paul, he left a better impression on you from that luncheon than the one you have Bill O'Brien?
Yeah.
Who did you like more after the luncheon? I came away thinking,
this guy gets it. And I came away from the other one like, this guy is just crazy, crazy out of his mind. He has no...
Why would you say that? Bill, about this guy.
Yeah, you suck too.
Very reasonable, this guy.
Nope, you suck too.
Coming up, we got Roosh Williams in the house. He is in town. He's from the Locked On Rockets podcast, does NBA podcast, Rockets podcast. He's a former member of the city. He grew up here, but living in L.A., but he is in town, so I asked him to come in. We're going to talk some NBA playoff basketball and reconstructing the Rockets. We're talking about how long it's going to take to rebuild the Texans. I guess the question is, who does it take longer to rebuild, the Texans or the Rockets? We'll get into that in just on just the other side. We'll have Roosh in studio with us. Right now it's 8:57. And what do you want me to talk about right now, Dell? Anything?
Yes, talk about your favorite place to get a car.
Oh, Gulf Coast. So when I've been driving a Chevy Traverse, really loved it. They told me, the guys at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC told me that the Traverse was, it flies off the lot. People love this SUV. And so when I finally had a chance to get one and they put me in a Traverse, I couldn't wait to drive it. And it was great. My wife was driving something else at the time, but as soon as her, we had purchased it, and they told me, when we find the right kind of deal for you, we're going to get your wife a Traverse as well, but we want it to be the right program so she can save the most money as possible. And we waited and waited, and before you know it, we got a call from Rick Drenner 4 months later. He said, we got a great offer right now. Let's do that now if you're still interested. And that's how they do business. If they have a program that they don't think is right for you, they will keep you in mind. They want you to get the best program possible. They may tell you, hey, why don't you wait a couple months? Let's see what happens. Every month there's a new program that comes out. But if they can find you the best deal right now and give you the best trade-in value, they're going to do that as well. At Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, not only do they have offers right now as high as 18% off MSRP for a variety of vehicles in stock, they also have a great selection, and they have a staff that is not going to hassle you, hustle you. You're not going to keep getting phone calls. They're not going to bum rush you as soon as you pull up in the parking lot. That's not the way they do business. They're at Angleton. They're country people. They're doing it the country way. They've even got across the street. Y'all think I'm joking, but they actually have like cobbler and stuff at the little kitchen area that they have across the street. And it's good. It's really good. Make sure you stop into Angleton. Maybe a few extra miles, but it's also going to mean a few extra $1,000 in your pocket. At Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, you can shop online at LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.